This evening we will continue with C.S. Lewis. Next week, of course, per orders of my wife and my doctor, I won't be here Sunday night after the shoulder replacement on Wednesday, but I will be here next week. But on the 30th is the fifth Sunday night service, the union service. It's at Life Church. Our choir will be singing that evening. And then we will finish up C.S. Lewis on February the 6th. And starting on February the 13th, we will begin our study, our intensive study in the Gospel of Luke, all the way through Easter on Sunday nights. So just kind of giving you an idea as to where we are headed. Last time, we were talking about faith, the two levels of faith, and then we talked about the difference in begetting and creating, or making. Making and begetting. We talked about how to when something is begotten, and some of the creeds talk about the begotten Son, and John chapter 3. God sent His only begotten Son, as opposed to created or made. And we talked about how begotten, or to beget, is to be the father of, and you beget something that is the same as yourself. Whereas when you create something, you make it out of something that is different. So God begets God in coming as Son. Not something that is different, something that is of a different nature at all, but the same nature. Whereas we are copies, kind of like, and Lewis used the analogy of statues. We're like the statues. We're not of the same substance. We're something that the one who carves the statue has made out of something else. But the good news of Christianity is that the statues have the possibility of actually coming to life and becoming children of God. And so we talked a little bit about that. As we move forward this evening, the next chapter in Book 4 is on the three personal God. How can there be three beings in one? And how can God exist in three distinctively different states and yet still be one? And then time beyond time. I mentioned this morning, and one of the questions that is raised by Lewis, he says in the chapter Time Beyond Time, that a lot of folks have problems with God because they say, well, how can God hear all the prayers of everybody at the same time? And the real problem is that we think that time, as we conceive it, has to be the same thing that God is locked into. That if our time is linear in 24-hour days, then God's time must be linear in 24-hour days. And so we'll talk a little bit about that as well. Now, non-Christians tend to think of God as being impersonal and agnostic, which most people who initially claim to be atheists are actually agnostics at worst. That means that they think can't really know God because God's impersonal, and God really doesn't want to get to know you because God's impersonal. So gnosis means knowledge in Greek. Agnostic means no knowledge. And so you don't want to have knowledge of God, or vice versa. God doesn't care. God's a big clockmaker that made this part of the universe, wound it up like a clock, and as it started winding down, God got bored and went off somewhere else and did something else. And so everything's unwinding here. So many non-Christians, that's how they conceive of God. Some think that we are absorbed into God, which means we would become nothing. We cease to exist. And so how could there be a personal God if you're simply absorbed into God the same as everybody else? That's the basic premise of Hinduism, of Buddhism, of many of the New Age movements, quite frankly. New Age stuff is, for the most part, Old Age, just repackaged. It's a lot of Hinduism, a lot of Buddhism, some Gnostic thought, and other philosophies thrown in there on occasion. But with respect to the concepts of God and personality, Lewis sees Christianity as the only one that's really on the market, the only one that's really viable, when it comes to God and personality. God is personal, though He is beyond personality. One of the things that we talked about early on, and we've talked in other venues about, that distinguishes human beings from other creatures in creation is that we have personality. And we have the ability to think and reason. And we do have this personality, this personhood that makes us distinctively different from the rest of the created order. So God is personal, though beyond personalities. Human souls are taken into God's presence but remain themselves, which is considerably different than Hinduism, where you are trying to reach the Brahman, which out of nothing you have come, it is to nothing you seek to return. Or in Buddhism, you've got nirvana, which literally means to extinguish or blow out. And so that's, you're just trying to be extinguished, not come back again. No trail of smoke or anything. You just cease to exist. Because you are absorbed by that power or that force that is out there that is not personal but is simply an impersonal force in the universe. Not so with Christianity. In Christianity, we are taken up into God's presence by God, and yet we remain distinctively ourselves. The human soul remains distinctively itself. And we can be more than we were before. Yet that also is dependent on the human level of our own decision. Our own decision to follow God or not, or to accept God or not. Lewis tries to talk about how God can be, answer questions about, how can God be three individuals in one and exist at the same time as three separate individuals and yet still be one? And he talks about the divine level as opposed to the human level. Anyone remember when you read that, what he had to say concerning that? On the human level, one person is one person. Right? Two people are two separate people. And he talks about dimensions. He says, in the first dimension, you can have a straight line. That's all you can see and have is a straight line. When we draw generally two-dimensionally, right? Of course, now we've got HDTV and 3D and all that kind of stuff. Got to have those funny glasses. In two dimensions, you can have figures made out of straight lines. And then when you start drawing in three dimensions, you can actually draw what? A cube. And what Lewis talks about is how if we look at the human level, we are one, two-dimensional kinds of individuals. And yet the divine level is similar to that third dimension and beyond where you've got the cube that takes place. And God's dimension, like a cube, can allow the being to be three and yet still distinctively one. Very simple kind of analogy, one that may not even be as good, is, I am one person. And yet, I am my father's son, but I'm still who I am. I am my son's father, and yet I'm still one person, but I function in two different ways. And to some, I have been a counselor, and yet I'm still the same person. Or go even more so to science. I could go in there and get an ice cube and sit that ice cube on the table. And there comes a point in time where that ice cube in this warm room, it's one ice cube, but it exists in three different states all at the same time. Right? It's a solid. And then it begins to melt and become a liquid, but it's still the same ice cube. And it gives off fog as it's melting, gas, it becomes a gas, and yet it's the same ice cube. Now, if something as simple as an ice cube can exist that way, if a person as simple as I am can function in three ways and yet be the same person and personality, then looking to God, God is beyond personality. God can and does exist as three distinctively functioning individuals and yet is the same person. not a multiplicity of gods. God begets God as Son. God begets God as Spirit or God. And yet all of that is of one substance and is of God. And what we need to do as Christians in order to advance is to not complicate things any more than that, but to look to God and to be drawn into that three personal life of God, to connect with God. God in Christ within us prompts us to pray. So we, the statues, have an opportunity to become children of God because God in Christ, that second being who is God, we say is within us, right? We accept Him into our heart. Although the Lebanese poet Khalil Gibran said, never say that God is in my heart, but rather I am in the heart of God. But it's the same principle of existence. God in Christ within us or around us prompts us to pray and to make that connection with God so that all true knowledge comes through Christ, who was and is God, and who leads us. We're being led by God into God, Lewis says. And that same God, who is of the substance of the divine substance, then came in Jesus, who was God. Then the Christian community found God within them, and therefore found God not just within them in Christ's physical presence, but when He left, the Christian community found that connection with the Spirit. And so they began to talk about this three-in-one God. This three-in-one God. So as we advance to more real and complicated lives, we still maintain our originality, but we come to know God in even greater ways. And the title from last, and this fits in with begetting, the title for that I chose last week for Ken to put it online was Faith Begets Faith. Just as God begets God, faith in God should beget a greater faith, a deeper faith that gives more substance in that connection with God. And if God Himself can exist beyond personality and beyond our dimension and be three in one, or God can, if I can be three in one, or the ice cube can be three states at one time, then God in another dimension beyond personality, beyond our dimension, God is not limited by our world, but is other. If God were part of our world, God comes into our world in Jesus, but if God were part of our world, then by necessity, God could not be other, because what would God be? Of the substance of our world, our universe. But God created the universe, right? God created the world. God creates us. God didn't beget the universe. See the difference? If God had begotten the universe itself would be of the divine substance. But rather, God created the universe, which is something other than God, which means God is other as creator. And yet, we as created beings have an opportunity to attain some of that nature of God that begets, because God, in begetting Jesus as the Son, containing that same nature, came to earth and lived like one of us who is a created being, and then allows us to have an opportunity to connect with the Spirit in a way that we can truly be called sons and daughters of God in ways that no other part of the animal kingdom can be. Why? Because we have personality and we have personhood, and God, though God is beyond our personality, God has personality as well. And that comes in the substance of God begetting God and yet coming here. Lewis says, and I quote, "If Christianity were a made-up religion, it would be much easier. The fact is, Christianity is difficult because to understand and live with God is not an easy thing." We want to make it easy. Right? Send in your $25 and I'll send you this prayer shawl. Or we'll send you this vial of water that from the Jordan River that Jesus was baptized in over 2 millennia ago, as if it hadn't evaporated and fallen somewhere else. Or if you just give me, and to some people it is a religion, but if we pull down the shades that are up, that stay up, except for Monday and Thursday nights over in that corner, you would find a list of rules and regulations for AA. And do we not want that? We would much. It would be much easier. Religion would be a whole lot easier if we just had the rules and regulations written down. What a waste of coffee. It won't be sticky though, because there's nothing in it but coffee. But we've got that. It would be a whole lot easier if we could just do that. We had that list and check it off. Each and every day, check it off, and that's all we had to know. But if we connect with human beings, family members, with friends, with others, are our relationships easy? A bunch of you said no and shook your heads. I didn't see anybody that said yes. And relationships are not easy. Why? Because we have differences which come because we've got personality. Walk that personality. Talk personality. Smile personality. You know, all of that kind of stuff. Because God has given us personhood and personality. So why should we expect relationships with God to be easy if God gives us personhood and personality, and if God Himself is three persons in one, and yet of that same divine substance? I wish Christianity was a whole lot easier. Unfortunately, the longer I'm in this, the more difficult sometimes it becomes. Or maybe it's not that it... Well, I guess, yeah, it becomes difficult. I was going to say, maybe it's not that it becomes difficult. I just discover the questions change. If it was easy, would people be striving to reach it? No, not really. Although, I guess religion as a whole is generally not easy. Even when you talk about, we mentioned Hinduism and Buddhism, it's not easy to think that you're going to have to go through cycle after cycle after cycle and hope that you get good enough to get somewhere further along the line. Even the Buddha gave you a noble eightfold path to follow, but it takes lifetimes, plural, according to the Buddha, to accomplish that. But I think that God gives us that connection with Himself through Jesus, because the divine who begat divine then came to live like us and experience life like us and show us that we can live like the divine if we truly wish. Why? Because of that relationship. But then we want to start the relationship, and then we want it to be nice and easy, and we want it on our terms a lot of times. But no, if my granddaddy always said, my daddy said, if it's worth having, it's worth working for. And quite frankly, I'm a whole lot more careful and more upset if something starts happening to something I've worked hard for than if it was just something that I found or something somebody gave me that it didn't cost me anything. I think most of us are that way. Yes, you might ask a question. The three persons in one, right?
In the beginning, God created you.
Right.
And then He divine people. At that time, they didn't know the Holy Spirit or the Son, but yet He was in that one God.
And yet, in creation, they didn't know the Holy Spirit, didn't know when He created and drew out people, and yet, as they connected with God and relationship became important and they began to understand, then you've got the mention in particular, you've got the mention of the Spirit. And the Ruach of God was moving over the face of the water. So there was a recognition that, yes, there's God, but there's something else that is God that is out here creating. They didn't call it the Holy Spirit, but they called it the Ruach of God, the Spirit of God. Three separate, it's God begetting more of God's self in order to relate to us in different ways and to show us different ways to relate as well. God shows us in Son how we connect with parent and how we are to be children, obedient children, and how we are to live that. And yet, God also shows in the connection between God the Son and God the Father, because when He begets Himself and as Son and comes here, shows what the relationship not only is of the child to the parent, but how the parent should also watch over the child.
Okay, when it came to the Israelites, they never had Pentecost. We did.
Well, yet Pentecost was a Hebrew festival. They had the Ruach, which was a divine force from God that moved to and fro on the earth, that helped in creation. And by the time you come around to the writing of the Gospel of John, written by a Jewish author, you've got that move from not just connecting God as Father and Ruach as Spirit, but you've got Son, who was present in the beginning and part of the creative process. And there's really a recognition in the prologue to the Gospel of John of a Trinitarian kind of existence there, even though some of the earliest writings that point to that are in the writings of Paul, in particular in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. A lot. And how long does it take us to learn? Well, they foretold of the Messiah, and they spoke of, I will put my spirit within flesh. Once again, speaking of that spirit. And so there were, we're slow learners, and sometimes we forget awfully quick. It takes a long time for us to understand, and that's why one of the things that keeps me doing what I do is because I'm always looking for answers. There's always something out there to learn. There's always another way to twist it and look and say, that might be even more meaningful, or that doesn't work, but at least I know why. I understand you're trying to figure out your question in part is, when do we come to understand this, when did they begin existing? If God begat God and if Spirit was in the creation of the world, which is different and other than God, and Son was existent and part of creating the world, then as far as our time and our understanding is, and as far as those early Christians in their councils determined, God always was and is three in one. Even before the founding of the world, because the world is something that's created and is separate and is different, and even before that, God was and always is three in one. It's our understanding that becomes confused, and maybe right now you're thinking, boy, does it. But it's our understanding that becomes muddled and confused, and it takes us a while to get to. Why? Because we're finite beings. And yet, we are given personality and the ability to have relationship, not like anything else in the rest of the created order. There's no other creature on this earth that has that ability. I know some people say monkeys can do this and that. Quite frankly, if we came from monkeys and I was a monkey, I'd be embarrassed to say it. The way we act a lot of times. I don't think we did, but I'd be embarrassed by the way human beings acted. But that's one of those questions that church councils met over and debated. And volumes have been written about as well, Ariel. And it kind of goes along with this, the next chapter about time beyond time. God is not in time as we are. But we often limit God and we see God, we have 24-hour days and 365 and a little bit day years. Well, God must be locked into the same thing. And so how in the world can God hear all the prayers of everybody at the same time, and especially in all those different languages? We can talk about the money spent on Rosetta Stone. But, how can that happen? Do you ever have... And Lewis says, and I used to wonder, and Lewis says probably our biggest problem about time and thinking about God in time and eternity as opposed to what is, how can God hear all those prayers at the same time? Why? Because we're locked into it. If somebody is talking to you at 10:30 at night and your telephone rings and you pick it up and you're listening to this person over here and this person on the telephone, and then somebody else walks in, how can you carry on three conversations at once at 10:30 at night? Some people can do that better than others. But, in our finitude, we're locked into that, and how can everything happen in that one moment? Lewis says if God is other and God is beyond time and God is outside of our time, God's got eternity, then for God, time is always in the what? Past, future, or present. Then for God, even though for us it may be 20 years in the future, for God it's still the present. If God is beyond our time and outside of our time and not limited by our time, if God is eternal and God gives us the concept of time, then for God, if God chooses, every moment is the present. So how can God answer all the prayers of everybody at 10:30 at night? Because whether it's 10:30 at night for us or not, for God it's the present. Now, Lewis does agree. Lewis uses an analogy of a novel writer. And it does break down a little bit. But he uses that analogy. If I'm writing a novel and I'm writing about this particular person, I think he called her Mary, and I write that something happened in this particular time frame, and then I go away for hours and hours and hours and think about it and then come back and write it again or continue writing, her time hasn't changed. My time has changed. Why? Because my time and the time in the novel is different. That's a very limited example that he uses about this thing of God being outside of time. It's almost like God is the novel writer who, for him, his time is completely different from we who are in the novel or we who are in the world at this particular point in time. God's life and time are not dribbled out, but God's time and God's life always is. The biblical writer used a simile, and there are two different ways. In one place it says a day is like 1,000 years in your sight, O Lord. And another one says, and 1,000 years is as but a day. Not meant to be a formula, but it does call attention to the fact that God's concept of time and God's existence in time and our finite concept of time is different. For us, we think of time as part of a reality that is slipped along a linear point, and whatever is behind us, we've lost. But if God is above and outside time, then God doesn't lose it because God can see it all at once if God chooses to. Our concept of time, people get so, and I know they get, fights have broken out over, was the world created in 24-hour days or not? The Hebrew word yom, and there was evening and there was morning, one yom. It doesn't even say the first yom. It says one yom. The Hebrew word yom is an allegorical term that can mean 24 hours, 24,000. It's a period of time, an indistinct period of time in which something important happens. It has a beginning and an end, and something important takes place. Sometimes it is used to speak of a 24-hour period. Sometimes it's used to speak of a generation. Sometimes it's used to speak of 1,000 years, Jenny. You know, it's an allegorical term. It's not meant to tie one in literally. When the writers wrote Genesis chapter 1, it didn't matter to them whether God created in a 24-hour day or not. The important thing was that God started something and God completed that something in that period, and that's what made it distinctive and different. It wasn't that God got halfway through creating something and said, well, put that on hold, I just had a thought, I'm going to run over here and start something else. But the important thing was, A, that it was God who created, and B, that it was God who created for a purpose in a period of time, and that period of time is marked by the beginning and the ending of whatever God determined to create. So, with that kind of understanding, and understanding that God's time is different from our time, what does it really matter if for our time frame, if we could go back and look at it, that these periods might have been 24,000 years or even 240,000 years apiece? The important thing is God created and God started with something and didn't leave it unfinished, but completed that something before moving on, and then said, okay, and there was evening and there was morning. That I talk, when I teach Old Testament intro, I talk about periods of creation. Not, you know, and I tell folks, if you want to think that it's 24-hour days, okay, because we're locked into that, our time frame, the finite creatures. But that also means we're trying to lock God into our understanding of the world instead of trying to understand more of God and how great God is beyond us. We're trying to pigeonhole God into these kinds of things. But if God is truly God and outside of our time, and then God has no history as we understand history, because God always is. Not that God always was and God always will be, but God always is, because God is always present. And God is always in the present from us. And yet in the middle of all that, we still have free will. Think about that for a moment. God who is beyond time, God who is outside of time, God who begets God and God who created the world, and God who is as three distinct persons yet one, forever, then wants to have relationship with us and wants us to be better than we are in and of ourselves. What Lewis calls being infected. You ever know somebody say they've got an infectious personality? What do you mean by that? Somebody's got an infectious personality. The personality rubs off on you. Good or bad, they've got an and usually it's good. They've got an infectious personality. You know, you're kind of down, but they've got one of these personalities. They're always bubbly, and it doesn't matter. You can be dragging the floor with your jaw, and they come in, and all of a sudden everything changes, and the way you feel changes, and even your personality might change for a while. Well, how do you get to that point? How do you get to the point, especially with a good friend? How do you get to the point where y'all click? How do you get to the point to where you perhaps are better? You know, that line out of Jerry Maguire, and all the women went, oh, but you know, you complete me. How do you get to the point where that other person completes you? Do you do it by keeping them at arm's length? You have to get close. Why are we not shaking hands sometimes these days? Yeah, we don't want to get some of these infections. That's right, you're contagious. You don't want to get some of these infections. Well, Lewis talks about how people of God are connected, and how if we get close to God, especially we get close to God in Christ, then the Son infects us with a good infection, something that changes us. And that, you know, good and bad are caught by infection. You get close to something or someone and catch that infection, and in order to really be connected with God, we have to continually get closer to God and closer to God. And when we do that, then what do we have to pass along other than a If we get that kind of connection with God and we get that good infection from the Son, then Christians are here to spread that infection. In fact, Lewis says, quite frankly, he says, Jesus came to spread good infections. That was Jesus' purpose, was to spread good infections. The Father is out there. The Son stands with us, and the Spirit of God permeates us. And when we catch that kind of infection, then we too, as Christians, are called to spread the infection. God is not, in Christianity, God is not static. Sometimes we try to make the laws of God static. But God is not static. God is dynamic. God is a dynamic love in action. And God has been going on forever. God is this dynamic, pulsating being. And what comes out of the joint love of Father and Son is a person as well, the Spirit, that then infects us. That's how we are infected. We are infected by God's Spirit. But to be infected by God's Spirit, Lewis argues, and I would agree, we have to get closer to God. We have to get closer to God. Now, it's natural sometimes for us to try and stay away. Why? Because we're afraid that the good infection is going to do what? What were the Puritans afraid of? That somebody somewhere sometime was going to have fun. The good infection might actually make a change in us. We might actually have, be able to do something good and to feel good about it. But sometimes we don't want to get around it because we might not have any fun, right? And yet, Jesus, God in the flesh, God as Son, did Jesus sit around and suck on dill pickles? No. What did Jesus do? Who did Jesus hang out with? He hung out with some religious folks, yeah. Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea. His disciples became fairly religious folks, but in a slightly different way. But the folks that he was around most of the time weren't the super religious folks. And when they were laughing, Jesus was laughing. When they were gathered together, Jesus was there. He was there in that relationship. Jesus was there having as a good infection and enjoying the moment with them, helping them to be better. The good infection makes us better. I know sometimes, most of the time they use the dead virus, but sometimes they use the live one if you're young enough. But who would have thunk, to avoid the flu, you infect somebody with the flu? To make somebody's body better so they didn't get the flu, you infect them with the flu. Right? Right, it's the way they cured smallpox, polio. I was thinking of polio as well. Yeah, and yeah, you might use the dead virus, but now they use a live virus on some of the flu things if you're a little kid and you get the nasal thing. But who would have thought that? So, it doesn't necessarily follow that someone who might not think exactly as you do is the bad virus or the bad infection. They might be just another form of the good infection. And then again, we're called to infect people as well. If we are infected with the Jesus bug, that almost sounds like you could write a book, the Jesus bug. If you're infected with the Jesus bug, that's a good infection then that we're not supposed to keep to ourselves. We're supposed to pass it along. Why? Because God, who is three in one and who beget God, who beget God the Son, and God who beget God the Spirit, wants us to be like His begotten sons and daughters. Even though we're created, He gives us that opportunity to be more than we can be in and of ourselves because of the good infection. Because of the good infection. And that's where we're going to stop this evening. And in a few weeks, we will wind up, we will tie this up, just very quickly talking about the toy soldiers, pretending. Is Christianity hard or easy? We've already talked about it being hard. Counting the costs and how that makes us new persons. But thank you all. Be careful. I hope you have a good week. I do covet your prayers Wednesday, and I will see you again soon. But next Sunday is Dr. DeVinny, morning and evening. Maybe I'll hand him the C.S. Lewis book and let him talk about it in a while. May God keep you safe. May God keep you within His grace. And may God infect you even more with His love. God bless you. Go in peace. Amen.